It's Tuesday, the 5th of April, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
Gozugos.
Hey.
And Prince.
Oh my gosh, my mic stopped working. what the hell? Hello.
How are we all doing? That's fantastic to hear. I'm very glad that you are all perfectly fine. I mean, hellos take long enough. I'm not going to wait for everyone to say that they're fine. But what I do want to hear from you is what game you've been playing. Artura, why don't you take us away?
Honestly, I've been playing a little bit of a lot of stuff, but despite how many super big AAA titles I've been playing, including Ghostwire Tokyo and Elden Ring lately, I've actually felt like one of the games that stood out the most to me this week was Crystal Project. So it's this game developed by one person. I believe his name is... Wait, I'll tell you the name, sorry.
Andrew Willman,
yep. And he's been developing... He developed the game over the course of 5 years. And it's just like an amalgamation of so many genres that it's unbelievable. You get to play... It's a JRPG, predominantly. But it's kind of voxel shaped, and then you have to parkour through things. And there's so many classes and so much content that you could convince me that it wasn't built by one person, because it feels really well done. The only unfortunate part is that its story is a little lacking, but I've been really enjoying that game.
That's good to hear.
Are there chocobos?
No, there are not. Well, there is something like a chocobo. It's a one-eyed dinosaur.
Oh.
Is it a fairy dinosaur? Or...
No, but they do have fairies in their dens, funnily enough.
And is there a character with like one wing, like an angel wing?
I haven't gotten to that part yet, unfortunately, but there's still possibility.
Just trying to see how many parallels with Final Fantasy it was.
It's a JRPG. Basically, all JRPGs are Final Fantasy VII.
Specifically VII? It can't be other ones?
No. Even Final Fantasy VIII is just Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, nice.
And every other one are also Final Fantasy VII.
Even Final Fantasy VI.
Yes.
Gohos, what have you been playing?
I was playing a game that I actually got from Ukraine Bundle, the humble one. I'm not sure if that was on the podcast, but that was the game that caught my eye. It's called West of Dead, where you play as a gunslinger, Ghost Rider, basically. Like Marvel's Ghost Rider, but he's a gunslinger cowboy type. And it's a roguelike, so you go around purgatory trying to remember who you were in life, and you souls in the purgatory can't move on currently, and you're also finding out why that is.
Well, rather than play the game, can't you just tell us?
I didn't beat it yet, because it's a roguelike, and it's a bit difficult. Although, to be fair, I did go into settings first off, and I just bumped up the difficulty level to the max, so that's my fault.
Well, I get that, honestly. I do the same with basically every game. It's cost me so many hours of my life.
I do that with absolutely no games.
You do that? Yeah. You do the opposite.
Yeah. I just play games on normal, to be honest, and if it's too, then I'll bump up everything else, but I like to enjoy a game on the first time through, like, how it was, I guess, meant to be played.
No, I totally get that, but I love difficult games so much, even if I died, like, almost 200 times at the God of War final boss.
I totally get that, actually. Sometimes the frustration is, like, fun.
Yeah! Video game masochism.
Yeah.
You should have said that later in the episode. Then we could have had that as the episode title. Prince, what about you? What have you been playing?
Oh gosh, yeah, y'all are gonna hate me. It's Silent Hill again, but this time it's Silent Hill. I really like Silent Hill 4, actually. A lot of people hate that game, and I can't 100% blame them because it's different from the first three. And it kind of does almost spell, like, it's the foreshadowing to the end there, because, like, there wasn't a good game after 4, and 4 itself arguably doesn't hold up with the others. I mean, I think it does, but I understand why people don't. Like, it is different, and it's not the same creators. Like, Masahiro Ito isn't even the monster designer in 4. It's crazy. It's different, though. I like it. But I've been writing articles about it because nobody wants to talk about Silent Hill 4, and I'm kind of tired of it. I want to talk about Silent Hill 4.
You need access to Artura's time machine that I keep telling her to build in the anime podcast.
I'm getting there, don't worry.
The game that I started playing it a couple of weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure I didn't talk about it on that week's podcast, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh.
I'm now on chapter 5, I want to say.
And how is it?
I'm enjoying it. It's a really well-made game. You technically control all of the Guardians of the Galaxy at the same time, because while you're controlling Quill and shooting and jumping and all that, you can basically aim the others at whatever you want them to attack with their special abilities, and like Drax can pull out these giants, big ledges, so you can progress through the levels, and it's All the pieces really do fit very well together in the game.
I really wanted to play it, and I heard it was not on Game Pass. But honestly, I'm such a disgusting Steam loyalist, and I'm like, but my Steam hours. I even felt pain when I was enjoying Kena: Bridge of Spirits, because I was like, well, you know, I wanted to support the developers. The game looked really cute. So I went and bought it in Epic Games, and I actually played the game for like 20 hours. And then I looked at Steam, and I'm like, I'm going to have to leave you on for 20 hours so that I have my hours on Steam, huh?
Wait, you have it on both Steam and you bought it on Epic?
No. I have it on Epic, and it's going to come out on Steam on September, I believe they said.
And you're buying it?
I'm buying it, and I'm going to put the game to load for 20 hours because I need my hours recorded on Steam.
I don't even know what to say about that. That's dedication, but also
it's a sickness. Wow. It's a sickness.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's dedication. I'd say it's mental illness.
Oh my gosh. It's nice to hear that the Guardians of the Galaxy game is actually going kind of like that is fun, honestly. I wasn't sure about it, to be honest. It looked interesting. I don't know. I was part of the market product testing, like the ads and stuff like that over here in the US. Which my NDA is already over, thank God, because they only do short ones when it comes to commercials. But, like, I wasn't sure how to feel about it, to be honest. I was like, huh, you know, it was so funny, too, because they weren't allowed to tell me who made it, and I immediately knew it was Square Enix. Like, you could just tell. You look at that game, and you're like, wow.
I'm actually glad how easy it is to control, like, single player. It's like they didn't even consider having it as a co-op affair or something like that, which I'm a fan of. I like my single player games.
Yeah, me too.
I honestly think single player games are so much better. Like, I'm so sorry. I love playing with people. I really do. But nothing compares to like the story depth that some single player games get.
Yeah.
Well, something that's not going to get any deeper is E3. Because they've announced that E3 2022 is cancelled. They had initially said that they were going to do a online and an offline event. Now they've just scrapped the whole thing.
Yay!
They have said that they're coming back next year, though.
Ding dong, the witch is dead. The witch is dead.
I mean, yeah, it's not got many years left in it.
No, it makes me so sad because it used to be something so beautiful. Well, in my opinion, like as someone who was not there, I don't know. I like E3. Even last year's digital event, it gives me something to do and stuff to write about. So it kind of bums me out they aren't doing it this year.
I've never been able to attend or even like see an E3 ever. And, you know, I always had like this, you know, every girl wishes of her wedding and all that. I just want to go to E3.
Yeah, no, actually same. Like,
I just want to go to E3 once in my life. And they canceled it.
It's crazy because, like, I'm in California right now, too. And I actually, like, have maybe the money to go to shit like this nowadays, which blows my mind. Like, I'm an adult. Holy shit. and then this happens. Like, there's a pandemic, and then they fucking cancel it. And I, like, I'm never going to go to E3. Like,
yeah, but I've accepted my fate that I'm just never going to get to E3 before it gets fully canceled.
Yeah.
I've heard that the Germany version, the German version, Gamescom, is better, but I've not been to either of them, so I can't confirm or deny.
See, I don't know German, so I wouldn't get to Germany in the first place.
Oh, they speak English there.
Like, a lot of English there, though? Like, is it common?
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
I don't know. I don't live in Europe, and I like over here in America, it is, unless you're in certain states, like I'm in California, so a lot of people speak Spanish, but if you go to like to the Midwest and stuff, you're almost fucked. People speak English, and a lot of people even get offended when you don't speak English, which I think is like the worst. I hate people like that. I don't know. When I think about other countries and other country languages, it always really shocks me that I'm like, oh, I guess maybe I could go over there and people would understand me.
Good morning, guten Morgen.
Most European countries have English as a second language. Even in France, it's just the people refuse to speak to you in English because they want to see you struggle to use French.
That is so funny. Oh my god. Okay, that's a point to France there. That is the funniest thing I've heard.
Basically the Americans of Europe.
Oh my god.
Speak French!
You guys were like the Americans of Europe, to be honest.
Because we speak English.
No, I meant like when you get into your politics and stuff, I always was like, wow, there's a lot of similarities, which you don't want to hear probably, because I know we got some issues over here.
No, we also agree that our politics are in the same crap hole that yours are, but this isn't a politics podcast, thankfully. I don't want to talk about that.
Honestly, I just think there's a very few amount of words you need to know to travel somewhere. Where's the bathroom? Hello? And honestly, I think that's about it, realistically speaking. Everywhere else, you can just do like signs, and you could technically do that with going to the toilet and asking for the bathroom as well.
Also, where's the library?
No, screw libraries.
Why don't you need to know that? Even
they always
go.
Teach you that phrase. Always.
Honestly, I really the wish.
The only reason you need a library in another country is to find a English to that language dictionary.
Maybe that's why they teach you that, though. Like,
but you should be taking it yourself.
Yeah. What if you lose it, though?
Just imagine standing there, being like, "Wait, I need to check my dictionary." Just comparing and being like, "Wait." I know I can say this taking 10 minutes just formulating one sentence. How do I enter Gamescom?
You go to another country, you take your dictionary, and you make sure you know where you can find dictionaries in case you lose yours.
On the back of the E3 cancellation, Geoff? Whatever.
I think it's Jeff. My wife corrected me on this today. I'm pretty sure it's Jeff.
Probably is Jeff Keighley.
It's Jeff. Yeah, that's Jeff.
Has announced that Summer Game Fest is going to happen in June. So he probably spearheaded the, you know, spear that killed E3. So that people will attend Summer Game Fest.
That's so sad. But also, I'm so sorry. I have a question real quick. Do you not have that name over there in England?
Yeah.
But it's
it, like, spelled like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
It's just a variant we pronounce as Geoff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, same. I guess I didn't catch on to the joke. I'm so sorry. I was still in the culture shock from earlier, I guess.
No, honestly, I've caught myself saying so many words wrong. So many names, specifically, it's when it's embarrassing. It's like, oh, how do I say your name?
What a mood, though.
Jeffrey, Joffrey.
So here's the thing about Geoff. Why is it that he supposedly killed E3? I didn't super understand that when I was learning about that.
Game Awards. He runs the Game Awards and the Summer Games Fest. And I guess if he gets the hold of the market, then he's the guy, you know?
Asshole.
I mean, he already is the guy, to be honest. I kind of love him, but not when stuff like this happens.
Well, honestly, it's kind of sad to see E3 go, but it is what it is, and at least we have some other events to look forward to.
That is so I love how you earlier were like, E3 is like my wedding day, you know? And then it's like, well, it's sad to see it go, but bye.
Bye, sister.
Well, Activision Blizzard almost said goodbye to some employees this past week. And no, it wasn't due to gender or sexual misconduct.
Finally.
This time. Next time probably will be. For once, we're not talking about
that. That's for the future podcast.
That's for next week. This week, we're talking about the fact that they announced that on Thursday, Activision Blizzard said that they are not going to require proof of vaccination from employees to return to the office. And then on Friday, they said they reversed the decision literally a day later because employees were unhappy and now they care what employees say.
They fucking better. Sorry.
Honestly, I'm really happy to see that everyone just freaking staged a walkout over this. I, knowing people, I kind of expected the opposite. So it's nice and refreshing to see a change of pace.
I understand why companies want people back in the office because they've signed leases and they want to monitor people and they want people to suffer from traveling to and from work.
Literally.
That's the most important one, obviously.
But things have clearly been working. You can tell from your own records whether employee productivity has been affected by work from home.
Isn't it also proven that people who work from home, companies that allow this, have actually shown more productivity?
Yeah, a lot of companies have actually shown increases in productivity because, I mean, first of all, I think people get bored as hell at their own house. Like, I always did less work in an office than I do at home, to be honest, because I talk to people and I just, like, I get distracted easy, you know?
If you're at the office, you're thinking of going home. If you're at home, you're thinking, well, I'm here, now what? Might as well work.
Yeah,
basically.
It's just that I've noticed that there's a trend that whenever you make people do less, they tend to do more. Because I believe it's the French that don't allow any more homework and suddenly kids are learning so much better. So it's like, I don't understand how this continues to be a problem when we have so much proof that when you give people freedom, they tend, because I understand humans are kind of stupid sometimes, work and be more productive. So I don't get it.
Well, part of it is a power trip for sure. Like a lot of these people, a lot of people in general really enjoy making other people do things. So if you're like the manager, you want to see the product of your work because your work is to make people do things.
I guess that's fair enough. I've never really understood why we continue
I think it's fucking stupid, to be honest, but it definitely is more like a lot of it's an ego thing, I believe, for a lot of people, unfortunately.
Well, I'm just glad that that Activision Blizzard decided to listen to their employees this time, because people started to arrange walkouts. I mean, they walked out over the sexual misconduct stuff, but
I mean, that's probably admittedly part of the reason why they like maybe listened this time around is because the walkouts were, and they caught so much public attention, you know. I like Activision doesn't want that again, and they would get attention if strikes happen again.
Honestly, I'm kind of happy to see Blizzard turning, you know, a new leaf, but at the same time, there is such a thing as too little, too late.
Yeah,
like it would have been really nice if this had been done a while back when they were getting accused of sexual misconduct. But no. We draw the line at vaccinations, which I guess it's okay, but still.
Well, to be honest, I think it really is one of those things when you look at it. Like maybe I'm looking into it too much, but I think one of the big issues you do have to look at is, like, sexism in this. Because, like, it gets to, like, who cares if female employees are getting sexually harassed versus who cares if all employees, male and female, are getting sick. And they'd care about maybe the latter more.
Yeah, that's what's really unfortunate. Do you guys feel like the sexism ideology around the gaming industry has lessened throughout these last couple of, you know, years or no?
I don't know.
This is a weird question. I think it's interesting because I know very early on in video games in America, it was like at one point we had a almost female-led industry at the very beginning there, especially with like companies like Atari. Oddly enough, a lot of the developers were women. And then somewhere in that, video games became more of a boy thing, I guess, and it has had a lasting impact. But I feel like in the past few years, despite, I think actually the unearthing of horrible things shows that we are actually making progress, because now these things are coming to light. Like, they have happened, but they're no longer happening, hopefully, and we could grow past these things. So I think we've gotten better in the last few years, for sure.
Yeah, how about like, you, Ace? Oh,
no, it's okay.
I was just going to ask the other opinions, because you haven't said much, of course. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I didn't notice there were problems like that till all of this stuff came up and it was loud, so I don't know if it got better.
I have noticed that it's mildly diminished, but toxicity towards female gamers and online games have actually stopped pretty aggressively.
Yeah, because I know like 5 years ago there was like all sorts of weird shit about female gamers, and there was obviously before that. I remember being in high school actually. And I, of course, knew a trivia question about Leon Kennedy, and I didn't get the point because I was which I'm not a girl, but like I didn't get the point because I was a girl. Like, dead ass. Like, that was the reason given. And I was like, are you serious? You know, and granted, it was just high school, but I think things like that don't happen nearly as much anymore, especially since there are so many more female gamers as well. Like, I believe the market has grown. Either that, or it's just never been shown in the first place, because there's a huge chance that they just weren't interviewing our demographic in the first place.
Yeah.
How about you, Ace? How do you think sexism has worked in the industry? Have we gotten better?
I'm a cisgender white male. I'm keeping my mouth shut.
What does that mean, though?
It means I'm not saying anything about this subject. It's not my place to, because people like me are the ones who have caused all this shit.
Oh.
Thankfully, though, I mean, I've noticed a bit of a change with League of Legends specifically. My wife used to get bullied a lot whenever she would play because of her username was very girly. So people would always be just absolute assholes to her. And it has stopped, so that's really good.
It's so weird talking about this on here. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. It just feels so, like, such a serious topic almost. Like, not that we haven't talked about serious topics before on here. It's just, I guess it's kind of a very real topic, to be honest. Like, that affects Artura and I, even though, once again, I'm not a girl, but, like, you know, I still was born one, you know? So I think it's something that does affect us rather personally.
Yeah, definitely. It's something that we've all, well, not all, because according to AZ, he doesn't want to comment on it because he's part of the problem.
I can't comment on it without causing more problems, so I'm not.
Did you do this, Ace? Is this your... Are you the cause?
Yes, no! I am the original toxic male gamer.
You're the pioneer.
You fucking asshole. How could you do this?
To be honest, this might be my own, like, American opinion here, because this is how we are supposed to run as a country over here, I believe you are actually entitled to your opinion still, Ace, and that it does matter even if you feel that people like you are at fault of the problem. Like, what you think is still important. I just wanted to let you know that. I'm sorry.
I agree, but I also didn't want to push him to talk about something that might feel controversial.
Like, if you don't want to talk about it, please don't. I'm just letting you know also, though, that your opinion is still valid and important.
Thank you. I just feel it's not my place to say whether sexism has gotten better or worse. Because
no, yeah. It's
never affected
that.
Me.
Like, well, mostly.
I respect that actually a lot, so thank you.
I was just mostly asking because, you know, it has become more public that the problems seem to be arising a little more with more and more sexual allegations and problems. So it kind of feels like it's getting worse in a sense. But honestly, I don't know. I haven't been around in the industry enough to say whether this was a common occurrence 10 years ago, because I really wasn't that big of a gamer back then.
Same, honestly. To be honest, like, I like how our reasons, like, we think the opposite almost because of our reasons, but, like, it's the opposite. Like, I think all this stuff coming to light means we're improving, and you think all this stuff coming to light means, like, we're not. And I actually really find that, like, I love that, to be honest. Like, that we have opposite opinions like that. I don't know why. I just think it's so interesting.
I agree completely.
Well, from one embattled gender to someone who's embattling everyone. A troll on No Man's Sky hit the news, technically. Not them in particular, but more Hello Games
was. Companies are singular, he's God.
Hello Games was being called out for their not very good reporting
system.
Thank you. Because there's a section of the No Man's Sky galaxy called, that's a player hub. It's called the Galactic Hub. Lots of players go there and build on the same planets and build these really nice structures. And one player was a quote-unquote neo-Nazi with a username which contains several neo-Nazi flags, let's say. And when multiple people start reporting this person who was using their base to build around other people's bases and interrupt what they were building and interfere with their role-playing, the report base function was returning a 500 error. Hello Games explained that was because multiple people were flagging that one base, and because it had already been reported, everyone else was getting a 500 error. But it's not a great look if someone is being reported multiple times and multiple people are being told, yeah, can't report that.
Honestly, I kind of understand, because it might correlate a little bit to the entire, you know, review bombing that's happened on Steam that has become this thing where we all just target something, and whether we're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. But because we have a mom mentality, they must answer to our needs. I can kind of understand how this would happen. But at the same time, you know, if I'm reporting someone that's causing harm and then suddenly get a 500 error, I'm like, okay, what? Was this not properly thought? So I understand both parties here.
Apparently, as part of the reporting process, once you have reported a player's base, their base is no longer visible to you at all. You can't interact with it. So what this doesn't say was whether these people who were getting the 500 error could still see this base after their report had, well, seemingly failed.
Yeah, because that's a much worse problem, actually. Because if that's the way to get someone out of your way, you know, so be it. But for that to be gone because someone else already did it, I can understand, like, why people are pissed.
Yeah, because if it was going away, like, okay, good enough, fair enough. But if this guy was just freaking grieving the entire area and you can no longer report him because he's already been reported, it's like, no, what do you... No, you should probably disable him from more worlds rather than force him onto others. It's the system...
Come up with, like... Oh, sorry.
No, you go. Don't worry.
Oh, I was just going to say they should come up with a message that says, hey, maybe this player has already been reported, and then, like, get them out anyways, like, of that person's view. But you should continue what you were going to say. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, there's a system implemented in League of Legends that after you've been reported a number of times and you've caused a lot of troubles, you actually get put in a separate queue with a lot of people that have been reported a lot of times and have caused a lot of troubles. Ooh. So I feel like that's a fair enough punishment. I think that because the person has already been grieving, if you can't, you know, straight out ban them, then definitely they should be taken away from the entire, you know, world, for most worlds, so that they don't get to grieve other players.
That is so funny. Isn't that how Australia, like, happened?
Oh, no.
I feel like if you don't want other people to ruin other people's stuff, then, like, I'd give the people who own the land or whatever the ability to eject the unwanted ones. Like, I don't know. Like, if it's allowed by the game and someone is abusing it, then that's, like, a technical flaw of the game. That's not something that... I mean, if... That's, like, either you change how the game works or you need to hire a workforce to, like, check every single person that's been reported if they deserve to be banned or not.
Yeah, I understand that. League of Legends used to have this tribunal system, and it was so faulty because people didn't care. And there's so many players. I feel really bad for game developers because reporting systems are so difficult to handle, especially with all the false reports, like the aforementioned review bombing on Steam. So it's kind of a loss-loss scenario because a robot is not infallible. You could say the wrong thing once 10 years ago, and if the robot picks that up, it's like, oh no, you deserve to be banned. So I feel really bad for these scenarios and these people because you don't want griefers, neither the developers nor the publishers, because neither the developers nor the players, because it's ruining everyone's experience, but there's no perfect fix for it apart from everyone should stop being assholes.
Okay, my idea for the main topic, which I came up with no help at all. Thank you, Arturo.
Who came up with it?
I came up with it based on something Arturo said.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Arturo.
Was that, is being a troll really that bad?
Yes. There's no other argument, just yes.
I don't know. To be honest, I think it depends on the platform. Like, I argue with people on Twitter all the fucking time because it gives me a rush.
Multiplayer games like No Man's Sky or Elite Dangerous, they're massive open universes where you can do whatever you want. So why not go over to other players, shoot down their ships, and loot their corpses?
Yeah, like, if the game is built to allow that, then, like, what's wrong with that? I don't think that's trolling.
This is the funniest thing, actually, to me, because I don't play MMOs, but I'm a really huge .hack fan, and, like, this is one of the core crises of, like, .hack to you, but because there's player killers and there's, like, people who don't want to be killed. There are people who want to just run around and roleplay in their world, and then there are people who want to kill those people and steal their stuff, and it's a whole argument.
It's weird. There's people that don't want to die.
Yeah, I know. But I always felt like there should maybe be a function that you could possibly turn on that's like doesn't let people like a peaceful mode almost. And then there's like other ones if you want to like live in that real world and see what happens.
Does that make sense? I've I've gone through this problem several times because my wife and I played Sea of Thieves when the game first released because it was in Game Pass and we decided to buy the Game Pass and we gave the game a shot and we really enjoyed it until, since we were a small group of two pirates and we were basically just freaking merchants, we got attacked by a group of four and there was nothing we could do. They didn't, like, it wasn't so much that they stole our treasure as much as it was that they just spawn camped us and left us stuck inside the ship for until we had to sign out or until they got bored. And that's what sparked my personal problem with trolling, which is I understand if the game is built to allow these sort of problems to occur. It makes sense and it's realistic because, well, there's corrupt people out there. Everyone does bad stuff, yada, yada. But at the same time, why? If there's other things you can do in other, like specifically games like No Man's Sky, which as far as I'm aware, doesn't really have PvP, you're forcing PvP onto a PvE experience because you want to gate other people from their own bases. That's what I don't personally get. Otherwise, you know, with Sea of Thieves, I give up with the game. I don't hate it because I understand that's the premise. You know, pirates are bad. People are bad. So you have to fight all the evil pirates. But when it comes to more peaceful games like No Man's Sky and every other game that has, like, for instance, in Minecraft, when you're just building and someone comes around and destroys your house, that's what I think is not okay.
I'm still mixed on this one, to be honest, because I think part of it is I do enjoy a world that is more realistic when I play games, even if I want to be in the fantasy. So sometimes it is kind of like a new situation. Even if I think some people are assholes for it, for sure. But I think it's also like with open worlds, especially in games like these, is there's no true correct play style. And I'm not sure where to draw my line on how a person should play versus how I should play. An example I'm going to use that is not an MMO, because I do not play MMOs, would actually be going back to Grand Theft Auto. I play the game very peacefully. All I do is drive around and look at, like, fake LA and listen to the radio. I love that shit. But a normal player would go around and, like, shoot people and cause havoc. And it makes you wonder, like, are all open worlds like this, you know? Like, maybe you can shoot people and cause havoc, or maybe you can live peacefully. I think those things can coincide.
I agree completely. I just wish that there was a way to separate those that don't mind havoc from those that do. Because, you know, I don't mind it in some games, but in some games, I'd rather just have a peaceful experience. And unfortunately, any game that allows you to cause havoc has people causing havoc. So as for the question, are trolls always bad? I wouldn't say yes, because like they're bad for me personally. I do think they are, but I understand they're having fun in their own way. I just wish that there was more systems in place to separate those that enjoy that sort of playstyle from those that enjoy other sorts of playstyles. I think it's mostly just not a community problem, but an industry problem.
Sorry.
No, go on.
Like, I think some games do have, like, ways to get out, or, like, when you're being griefed, for example, they have systems for you to, like, just get out of that and go back to doing something else where there is no griefers, or, like, systems that encourage hunting trolls. Literally, like a crime system where you can commit a crime and you get a bounty on your head, then someone else will come try to kill you because you have a bounty on your head and they will profit from that. Or just zones that are, I don't know, maybe NPCs keep the peace, stuff like that. I mean, there's many things you could do to still allow people freedom to mess with others and still, protect those that just want to play peacefully.
honestly love that bounty system you just mentioned. That sounds like amazing, to be honest. I think it would keep a lot of peace because people who don't want to get fucked with will not be like fucking with people, hopefully.
Elite Dangerous also has that in place. If you if you kill another player, well, another player or an NPC unprovoked, you'll get a bounty, and then other players can claim that bounty by destroying you.
That is
That's really cool. It's also kind of present in the Dark Souls games, because when you get invaded, you can have this item that allows you to call for help from other players that designate themselves as like the defenders. So whenever you get invaded by someone else, then all those defenders, some of them get summoned to your world to protect you. So I really like those systems. How about you guys? You guys haven't given your opinion much on how you feel about trolls and all that.
I mean, again, I just think that it should be, the game should be designed around that to like account for, there's going to be people that will just want to cause chaos, and like to balance that out, to let people who just want to play peacefully still play the game and not be locked out of content by other people who want to mess with them. That should be a consideration when you're making a multiplayer game.
I agree completely.
Or you could always just not play the game.
That too. that's the solution I took to with Sea of Thieves.
I do want to say, though, I feel like there's a little bit of a difference between being a troll and then, like, straight up being a neo-Nazi to other people online. Like, I think things like that aren't okay in any level. Like, there's a difference between fucking killing someone for fun because you get an in-game item and, viewing something like that, like, pure hatred into the world.
Yeah, we've said it before on this podcast, but if you're a Nazi or a neo-Nazi or a white supremacist, fuck off. Stop listening to us.
About that neo-Nazi thing, though, with No Man's Sky, like, I read the article, and besides, like, references in the player's name, there was, I didn't see any proof that he is a neo-Nazi. Like, did someone say, see player called Neo-Hitler? Oh, he must be a neo-Nazi.
No, it was, I think it was numbers and, like, a reference to a well-known neo-Nazi leader.
For sure, yeah. Like, that's still doesn't seem, I still don't see a proof that he's a neo-Nazi. He just, oh, that's gonna be so funny if I type that in. You know? Sorry, I interrupted you.
It does say that's a bit of a difference between, like, Neo-Hitler, ha ha ha, that's funny. Because, like, I see it in the Persona fandom all the time, because, like, Hitler's a fucking a boss you fight against in Persona, too. Like, there is a difference between making jokes about Hitler and, like, actually writing down certain references, I feel like, that only other neo-Nazis usually pick up on. Because that's the thing. A lot of these people do write in codes. And in America, we've actually become really familiar with these fucking codes because these people are in our fucking, like, politics fully now. Oh! But, like, there's always been a bit of a difference, I feel like, between joking around, being like, ha ha ha, I'm Hitler, ha ha ha, you know? And writing something that usually only another neo-Nazi would know.
Oh. It does say at the top, quote, players say is a neo-Nazi.
Yeah, so, it's all alleged then anyway.
Yeah. It's just based on their username, and it brings in the clicks and brings into the podcast.
I need to find out what the what the wrong numbers are, and be careful to never fucking use them, because people will think I'm a fucking Nazi. I'm afraid to play games.
No, I understand that, and it actually is a really stressful thing, but I think part of it is you definitely gotta look at, like, the Nazis using the numbers in the first fucking place. Like, the fact that they came up with a code is it's on them, you know? Like, and I do feel bad innocent people caught in the crossfire, But I also do feel like there are people out there who absolutely know what they're doing. And there are a lot of recruiters out there, something I've seen personally in America. We had neo-Nazis on my college campus who would even put up the fucking 100 handmen or whatever it's called stickers all up around. Like, it's weird. White supremacy is unfortunately a thing. And it scares the shit out of me. And I think a lot of people, especially Americans, are on edge because of shit like that.
I'm surprised White Ranger didn't get censored.
No, see, I don't know. I'm just because, like, I don't believe in censorship or anything like that. But I, like, it's weird because I do know there are people out there who are purposely using these things. Like, you know, it's such a weird place to be in.
Well, I don't have a segue there, so I think we've reached the end of our podcast.
I'm sorry, it's been such a intense podcast. Oh my god.
Well, that's why people buy this podcast.
Wait, people buy this?
Wait, people get this for free?
What do you mean? I'm not a pirate.
Yeah, I sell it on the street corner to people who don't know there's internet.
I just use Spotify. So I
thought I was making money off of this. I thought I was rich. Thank you for joining me, Artura, Goz, and Prince.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having.
Thank you. Sorry.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.